Welcome back to Borat Club, where we have just finished viewing 44, I think, of Borat. And Ryan, I think this week we have come to the frightening realization that any of these Borat watches could now be our last.
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of hit sort of a peak here.
Yeah.
Like, if this podcast had sort of a narrative structure to it, right? I think the revelation of the Borat 2 news in our episode on that would have been the climax of this podcast. And now the rest of this, the final 8 episodes or so, are what you would call in narrative terms the falling action, where the
yes,
the fireworks have gone off, the logical endpoint of the experiment has been reached. And now we are here kind of sweeping up the ashes and putting a bow on things. And one of those bows is going to be an eventual watch of Borat 2, which is sort of looming over us like a pit in the pendulum situation where we can see it getting closer.
Yeah.
But we never really know just when it's going to strike.
Yeah. And that's like the thing that like really worries me, is that because we don't and probably won't actually know when it's coming until it comes. Like, we're doing this on a Wednesday night this week, instead of the usual weekend. So there's an entirely possible, like, scenario where we're back at it again 2 days from now
because
it drops on Friday. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility, which would absolutely ruin my mood for the week, because we have purposefully set this up to get this out of the way, and I really hope it doesn't fucking happen, but it's possible, you know. And we got earlier this week the trailer for Trial of the Chicago 7, I think it's called, his other new movie.
He's got some real impressive hair work.
He does. He's got great hair in that trailer. Yeah, it's really good. And we know that's coming out in like the middle of October, so I mean, my first reaction to that was, what if he just drops Borat 2 the same day and he's like guaranteed to be like the man everyone is talking about? But it's literally like it's any day. We are on like red alert here, I feel like.
I feel like there's a very small chance it doesn't come out before the election. I think that's slim. I think it's like 9-1. But the fact that it's this close and they still haven't released a trailer for it is what really bugs me about it. Because I think definitely before we get the film, we will get a trailer. I think it would be... I just think it would be bizarre of them to like not promote this at all, right? Because it's Borat 2. Like, it's the biggest movie of 2006, and so far, I really don't think we've gotten any sort of official confirmation from SBC or Netflix themselves that this is happening, right? Like, there was the article in Collider that was an exclusive confirmation, but there's been no ads, no trailers, no like sponsored Borat 2 Twitter account or anything.
Yeah.
Which makes me think one of two things. One is that this probably won't come out until near the end of October, and it'll be a couple weeks before they start ramping up promotion. Or they are feeling so tenuous about the performance of this film that they've just kind of decided to release it as a bit of an afterthought. But that seems very weird to me. It seems like something they would want to get on the streets and, you know, talk about a bit. Which is why I would be willing to bet that we've got at least until the beginning of October for this to drop. And I think it will come out like his other movie sort of mid to late October. But honestly, who knows? Who can say? It's anyone's ball game at this point, and that ambiguity terrifies me so deeply.
Yeah, like I don't know if I think they're gonna go for the trailer beforehand. I could see them just clandestinely being like, hey, guess what's on Netflix right now? Like, and we don't know for sure it's gonna be Netflix, but like, I did, after the emergency episode, check, and all of his other comedies have now appeared on Netflix, at least over here. and they were not on Netflix. The Dictator was, but most of them weren't. Now Bruno's up there, Brothers Grimsby's up there, Ali G in the House is up there. So that, to me at least, says it's definitely coming to Netflix, as well as the fact that Trial of Chicago 7 is also going to be on Netflix. But it's, yeah, I think they might be banking on the viral marketing that they kind of have gotten from it so far, you know, with him being spotted, with him doing the thing at that like white supremacist rally or whatever it was. Like, I think they're gonna rely on that, and then just like, it's just gonna be there one day, and they're gonna go, hey, Borat's out. Why don't you watch Borat? And I think then we'll get a trailer. The thing that really scares me is the idea that it might come out the same day as Hubie Halloween, because that's good. that I think would really make me upset.
That would rule. That would be so good. Sacha Baron Cohen and Adam Sandler have been conspiring behind the scenes to simultaneously ruin our lives this October. God bless, honestly. Do we, since we're on the subject, do we want to go ahead and get into our now sort of weekly Borat 2 prediction segment of the podcast while we're in the neighborhood?
Yeah. We might as well. I mean, fuck knows, we have nothing else to talk about. Well, we do, but you know.
So I, we talked a bit about near the end how many people we thought in the movie who were featured as side characters ended up voting for Trump, and I said probably most of them, right?
Yeah, I feel like almost all of them.
Almost all of them, yeah. At some point during the viewing, we had some kind of conversation, as we often do on the show, about his politics, about what he kind of gets up to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am. I posited the idea, I don't know how much I said about it, but I wrote it down in my notes app, that the plot of the film will be what we already know, which is Borat coming back to America and thinking he's like a star, thinking he's you know, hot shit or whatever. But I think part of that is he will come back to America and see like Trump and like the right wing and be like, wah, wah, wee, wah, I'm a racist. This man has good ideas. And they will try to do some kind of scripted thing like the Pamela narrative in the first film, where Borat tries to kind of climb the echelons of like the right wing political field. Right. And yeah. We had a bit of a discussion about how much we thought the second one would be scripted, like what sort of the narrative framework would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make the most sense, because it would be kind of like the easiest thing to get him into all those spaces that the movie is going to reflect on, like, oh, wah, wah, wee, wah, America has such good ideas with the rise of fascism, I have to go report on it and tell Kazakhstan how to be naughty, naughty, or whatever. So yeah. I feel like there could potentially be a touch of that, but this was getting to some larger point here I remember what it was. I think that In my vision of Borat 2, Ryan Borat Club's Borat 2, the thrust of it is that he's meeting up with all these politicians and everything is going wrong, but he doesn't really understand why. He's like, wah, wah, wee, wah, I put on a dress so they could make fun of trans people. I don't get why he's so angry at me. Like that kind of thing.
Sure, right.
Like, he's kind of like this sad fascist puppy just kind of being rejected by all these grotesque, you know, political figureheads. And I don't know how accurate that'll be to sort of the narrative of the film, but that's sort of like my take on the material, my sort of hellish visualization of this demonic film, which is going to absolutely ruin our lives. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a very scary potential way that Borat 2 could go. Like, the idea that he, in character, is like, I will give them the thing they hate so that they can own the libs or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It terrifies me that you might actually be right.
Well, what it comes down to, right, you look at his comedy and you look at what he is ostensibly trying to do with this film, which as I understand it is basically, you know, an hour 25, hour 35, like Joe Biden advertisement, right?
Right, exactly.
And so there's two ways in my sort of head that that turns out. And you kind of take a look at what he's done. And door number one here is what I've just described, that he sort of like does this weird inverse sort of thing that he's done before when Trump was running the first time, where he was Borat and he was like, wah, 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 vote for Trump. And I think that's sort of the most likely option. But option two, a door number two mystery prize, is that he has highly unlikely learned from his past mistakes as a comedian, grown as a person, and decides to make Borat into this legitimately hard-hitting right-wing deconstructing comedy where Borat is like, wah, wah, wee, wah, fascism, uh-oh, I gotta go teach naughty, naughty Trump about not doing a racism or whatever, which is never going to happen, right? Like, no. That is just not... That is not the kind of comedy or social commentary in this character that this man is capable of. And so I really don't see any other path for this film aside from him coming back from Kazakhstan and then being like, wah, wah, wee, wah, Facebook, uh-oh, surveillance state. That's a good thing that I like as Mr. Borat, and I'm going to pretend like it's good. Like, and he does that in the first one too, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, Bob Barr, ruling regime or whatever. I'm so excited to speak to a very racist man that I make a joke about or whatever.
Yeah, like, so, the supplemental material to that original movie, the book, if you will, I hesitate to even call it a book or whatever, but you know, like between that and his and the movie itself and like his appearances on Ali G and all this stuff, like we know that in the world of Borat, Kazakhstan is a fascist dictatorship and he loves it. He's all about it. Like he loves the glorious leader or whatever that he calls that guy, you know, so like there is no way that he's going to, in character, decide, oh, actually, fascism is bad. I should do something to try and put a stop to this. It's just going to be, oh, Trump is just like our leader. He's great. I love Trump. I want to bring Trump's message to Kazakhstan because Kazakhstan has been taken over by liberals or something. I don't know, but like, there is no way to me that it isn't just like him in character, at least celebrating Trump. Now I did posit a third option as we got through the watch, which was that the entire movie is sort of a Jacob's Ladder style thing where what we're actually seeing is his delusions as he dies from COVID, in his bed on a ventilator. So I think that is also a possible thing. And I think it's something that you brought up as we were watching it that you would really love and that I would also really love, honestly, because it would mean Borat would be dead and we'd never have to see Borat again.
I mean, I just don't know how much else he can squeeze out of this character, right? And I think that's what people thought when he made the movie in 2006, but you know, here he is again. And so I think unless he consciously kills off Borat at the end of the film, we could very well be staring down the barrel of Borat 3 in like another 15 years, right? You just never know. It comes and goes in cycles, and I think it's a possibility. You did mention dying of COVID. I think we revisited the idea that the film may start or at least imply with Azamat's death from COVID.
Yeah, we talked about
you said a socially distanced funeral, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, the idea that he would just be in his coffin nude and Borat would knock it over or something somehow was a whole thing.
He's like, wah, wah, wee, wah, my friend, I want you to have this. And he puts the Baywatch magazine in Azamat's coffin as they lower it into the ground.
Yeah.
Just really grim, a really grim, gruesome episode, which is funny because this deathly portent we've had of Borat 2 is so harrowing. But I thought I thought the watch itself was pretty okay this week.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a new setting. For the next 7 weeks, I'm going to be living with my grandparents while I work up in North Texas. So I am like in a very cozy room, not unlike the one in the bed and breakfast that they go to visit. There's a painting of a cat on the wall above the bed. There's floral bed sheets. I didn't bring my whole computer, but I have my laptop and all of my recording equipment. So not subjecting the folks at home to my old snowball mic. I have evolved beyond the snowball mic, which, you know, is a pretty good microphone.
It is.
But
yeah,
I like it. But no, the watch itself was fine. I feel a lot more comforted than I normally am. I feel comfortable here. I'm on this little wooden desk. There's a little shelf of stuffed animals nearby. So really just breaking down the psychic barriers between me and Borat and allowing me to kind of, you know, enjoy it as a warm, comforted human being, which is probably not a watch experience I've had with it prior to this.
No, so, I think that's certainly like a very interesting thing that you would have it on your 44th watch. And I mean,
yeah,
you know, you bring up the sort of comfort of being in the surroundings of, you know, your grandparents' home. And, you know, presumably that's somewhere you spend a lot of time in your life and all that. But like, I think there was like a palpable like difference that I was feeling from you, like in those opening few minutes of the movie. You also described like the vibe as being a lot more intimate, because, you know, we've got Borat like close to you on your laptop screen. It's not really, you know, up on your big screen or whatever, like you normally would have it. It's a more like, you know, close, like intimate feel, which I think is really, really like nice to hear in a way, but also very, very frightening.
Yeah,
and you did immediately shoot me down when I suggested that it would be the most intimate thing to watch Borat like under the covers on your phone in for a future watch, and you were just not having any of that. So
I mean, I won't say no all the way to that. Maybe next week I can pop in my Apple, you know, my earbuds or whatever, and watch it on my phone. But I don't know. I think it's because this is the first time I've watched it on my laptop, and you know, there's a lot of different factors at play there. The color balance is different. The screen is smaller. I'm closer to the screen instead of having it on the other end of my desk, you know. And so watching it here on the laptop in this room that I've stayed in quite a few times before, it gives me the feeling that I just kind of like sat down with my laptop and like popped in a DVD copy of Borat and just kind of watched it like a normal, well, you know, normal person would. And I think that's a very welcome experience. And I think the other thing is that I'm just over it, you know? Like we've had such a tumultuous month with the Borat 2 news, and we've done this so many times that here at the end of it, like now that the end is well and truly in sight, I've just kind of accepted it, you know, like we've done this for a year. I've watched Borat 44 times. I'm going to watch it anywhere from like another 1 to 8 times in the next few weeks. So I don't know. It's also comforting because I really do think that Borat 2 is going to be a substantially worse film.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm kind of like already at that, you know, twilight, dreamy-eyed nostalgia for this film, where I'm really just kind of relishing how much of like a okay bad movie it is, and how familiar it is, and how I kind of know its ins and outs, and like just really trying to appreciate it before the trap door falls out from under us and we fall into the proverbial bed of spikes with the Borat 2.
Yeah, I think it really has sort of crystallized for us now at this point that Borat 2 is in all likelihood going to be a very, very bad experience.
It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. And I'm really scared that it may wind up being 2 hours long. I'm really scared that like the introduction of a lot more scripted content where he is going to be actively trying to be funny is really going to slow down the pace of it, because so much of what I think makes the first movie work, at least in terms of its pacing, is the fact that it's quick, it cuts quick, you're getting genuine reactions from most of the people in it. You know, the fact that it isn't scripted helps it move, whereas I feel like, given what I have seen of his comedy in recent years and where he is as a comedian and as a writer and as a person these days, I just feel like the scripted stuff is going to be dreadfully unfunny, may borderline on self-indulgent at times. Like, I just feel like it's going to really be a lot slower and a lot tougher to watch. You know, like, I'm not saying it's going to be Sex and the City 2, but I am saying it's going to be tough. I expect it to be tough.
I agree. I definitely see it being a bit of like a harrowing watch in that sense. I don't think it'll be a full 2 hours. I can see it bloated out to like an hour 45, but if he makes Borat 2 a whole, like, you know, 120 minutes, he should be put in jail. I'll just say it right now. And, like, I think you're right about the scripted content. I think there are some of the funnier moments in Borat that is scripted content, like Azamat at the payphone, like some of the subtitle stuff, you know, just that kind of thing. And I struggle to think that there's going to be a lot of that truly candid stuff, because there's going to be so many people who know his shtick already, right? And there was reports that were, I guess, kind of shot down, that it would be him playing Borat, playing these other characters. And I can't help but feel there's going to be like an element of that to it. What I'm really dreading is that they're going to put in that shitty like song and dance he did at the racist rally or whatever,
I think that is definitely going to be in there.
Oh, this movie's going to blow chunks. Oh, my God.
The thing is, right, when he did that, everybody who, like, even the people who were there, like, immediately figured out once he started singing and doing his bit, like, oh, it's Sacha Baron Cohen. Right, like, he got chased off by them, and then he came back in a different costume. So, like, fuck, like, if the people who you would think are most susceptible to falling for his bullshit, like, are, like, figuring out, oh, this is him, because Rudy Giuliani also immediately figured out it was him.
Figured it out, yeah.
Like, how bad is this gonna fucking be, you know? Like,
I just can't help but feel, and, you know, maybe this is just the movies that we both watch. Like, we both watch some pretty shit films, right? We've both seen sort of the essential pantheon of just trash movies in our lifetime, and I can't help but feel that, maybe not to this degree, but in my mind, Borat 2 is maybe just wishful thinking, but in my mind, Borat 2 is Sacha Baron Cohen's Cat in the Hat, which is to say that it's just this sad, depressing portrait of this man who is, like, just trying his hardest to eke a laugh out of people, and everyone looking at him being like, no, you're done. Like, hang it up, dude. Like, there's no point to this anymore. And don't get me wrong, like, I definitely have what is going to be a very preconceived and negative notion of what to expect from this film, but I would love to be proven wrong. Like, I would love for Borat 2 to genuinely make me laugh and to be a funny viewing experience, but everything we hear of it just sounds like a man, like, playing with his fucking clown makeup and being like, look at me, oh, the Republicans, aren't they so racist and funny? It's like, nah, dude, you're saying Jews need to be, like, put in eggs and, like, smashed with hammers or whatever. You're not helping this.
Yeah, and so I think that's one of the things that worries me the most is, like, it obviously exists in Borat, and it existed in Bruno, and it existed in L.E.G. and all that other stuff, where there has always been the element of, look at me, I am the clown, I am the funny man, or whatever. But at least with Borat, you can make an argument that he is also really shining a camera or a light on these people who have dangerous opinions or who are just actively shitty or whatever. Whereas sure. I feel like the way he's going more and more now, and again, like, I didn't watch much of Who Is America because it was so bad, but what I saw of it and everything, like, we're hearing about, like, the Rudy Giuliani stuff, the rally that he went to, all this stuff just makes it feel like it's not even about, like, highlighting the ingrained, like, racism and xenophobia and, like, all that stuff in Western society now. It's just him kind of going, look at me, I'm still relevant, I'm still funny, I'm Sacha Baron Cohen, you still love me. You know, like, it doesn't feel like he's as committed as he once was, at least to me, no. On, like, social commentary. He's more committed on, like, to being, like, hey, I'm still around, I'm still, like, the funniest dude in the world, right? Like, and I just feel, and I worry that that is what this is going to be more than anything, you know, is that it's just going to be, like, him being, like, please love me, and I think that's profoundly uh-huh. sad in a lot of ways.
It really is, and, you know, like I said, we're making a bit of a premature judgment, but I feel like, you know, We were sort of the Nostradamus of him making the sequel, and we also pretty accurately predicted, like, what the basic plot would be, and I really feel like at this point we've got a pretty good read on this dude. I mean, we followed him like obsessively for like the last calendar year, and I think because of that we've really got a handle on what he's going to do with this, and I just don't see this movie as anything other than just kind of pathetic, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I'd love to be proven wrong, but I think the problem that he's approaching with this just conceptually is he's very obviously moved into the stage of wanting to have his cake and eat it too.
Right.
Where, like, he is trying to be the funniest person alive, and he's trying to, you know, ostensibly cast the spotlight on these dangerous ideas or whatever, but at the same time those are dangerous ideas, and like he is just giving these people the same kind of platform he gave for yes. people who didn't understand what he was trying to do for Borat the first time around, right?
Exactly.
Like he is just taking these sort of ideas and broadcasting them when the proper way to engage with them would be not giving them a platform at all, like not even
right
as like this sad, you know, pantomime comedy bit. So I don't know, we'll see what happens when it comes out. Obviously I don't think either of us are feeling very optimistic about it.
No weirdly enough,
I'm very excited. I will admit, just because we've watched this movie so many times, I'm very excited to see how, if at all, he picks up plot threads from the first movie. Like, I want to know if Azamat's going to be in it. I want to know if Linnell's going to be in it. I want to know if they, like, CGI, like, the driving instructor or whoever into the film, you know, like, that kind of shit.
Right.
But I just know that all the fun that we're going to have watching it as people who have seen the first one, you know, 50, 44 times or whatever, is just going to be evaporated, like sucked out of it by whatever sort of political harlequin juggling act that he tries to pull with the content.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It does suck. It really sucks. And, you know, it's something that we just have to accept is going to happen now. I feel like we've kind of been almost in denial in some way for the last month.
Yeah.
But at this yeah. stage, I feel like we're coming through the stages of grief into like the acceptance that this is just going to happen. It's just going to be bad. And we're going to have to watch it 1 to 8 times to finish out the 52. And then we'll hopefully never have to think about Borat 2 again. Hopefully.
I like watching it once doesn't scare me at all. Like no. that's baby
yeah, that's
play.
Fine.
But the fact that we'll probably potentially have to watch it at least like I would say 3 to 6 times
yeah.
is so, it just drains me. It's so draining. And like, I know as I get further along in this job, it's going to get more and more busy as time goes on.
Right.
And so the idea of having to juggle that while also like coming and watching Borat 2, which, you know, could be a pretty easy breezy watch, but I doubt it. Like just conceptually, the idea of having to sit down and watch 2 full hours of SBC on top of working full time again is just so. I don't know. It's sucking me dry like a vampire, which is something that we talked about while we watched the film.
I just
finished reading Salem's Lot for I think the second time. Great book, really, you know, fun. I mean, maybe not fun, but very kind of cartoony Stephen King vampire novel. really, really worth the read if you're into his whole kind of thing and still haven't read it yet. But I talked a bit about how I could see Sacha Baron Cohen as one of the vampires in that film. Well, not the film, in the book. Straker, who's sort of this like tall European bald man with like striking black eyebrows, you know. And I was like, oh, SBC right. could definitely play that. And so I kind of thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I think Sasha could, you know, if I may be so bold as to be on a first name basis with the man, I think he could do pretty well starring in like horror films. He was in the, that Sweeney Todd adaptation, and he was pretty good in that. And when I mentioned that, you said that reminded you of something you wanted to bring up, and you also said that you had a couple, you know, bits for this episode. Do we want to go ahead and get into those?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of talked during the movie about, yeah, you know, he should move into horror. You know, I suggested that he would be a good lead if they ever made another film version of the book Perfume. I think he'd be pretty good in that. I think in general he would be like ideal to move into that space, which ties into something I thought of today at work, which also ties SBC and Borat into the horror genre. I got to thinking because I was listening to another podcast, and they were reviewing a slasher movie, and I thought, what if the cast of Borat was transported into like Friday the 13th or Halloween, you know, like,
oh, what okay.
if, you know, Linnell was the final girl and Borat was the boyfriend, and, you know, as you know, like how we could maybe sculpt this as like a slasher movie with Borat involved here. And, you know, like I began to think about like the other people in the movie, like how, you know, the driving instructor would be like the old man who like warns the Borat crew like to stay out of the woods or whatever, you know. Like I feel like there's just so many people in there that could fit into different like slasher movie tropes.
Yeah, yeah, I think totally. You
get a real good movie out of that.
It could be very easily like a Scooby-Doo type situation where you have Borat, Azamat, Linnell, and then the bear who is sort of the Scooby-Doo analog.
I like that.
And I think you would need one other person. And who would be their other member, do you think? Like if you had to slot someone else from the film into the fifth role of the Mystery Incorporated gang, who would that be for you? Not Pamela Anderson.
No, not Pamela. Maybe Pat Haggerty would be a good one. I think okay. he could be like the sort of, although he would kind of take, I feel like, the Azamat role as well of being like kind of the straight man, like just exasperated. So he probably wouldn't fit. I mean, you need like an annoying shithead dead meat. So one of the like frat boys would probably be a good pick there, right?
Who's just like tagging along with the main characters of Borat for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, like he's the guy that like has to stumble upon Jason first, right, in the woods or whatever. He has to be, or I'm thinking like maybe, because this is also sort of how the remake of Texas Chainsaw went, like where they picked up a hitchhiker. They all start off like on a road trip or whatever. In like their like Scooby-Doo van, and they pick up a hitchhiker, and they go to the like house that Leatherface is living in, and like the hitchhiker like stays behind while they go out to like get food or whatever, and he gets killed. So like I'm thinking maybe that could be like that kind of role for the for like the shithead frat boy. Maybe I feel like, you know, he tries he like walks around a little bit in Borat's mansion that he's inherited, and he, you uh-huh. know, he's trying to steal shit, and then he opens a door and oh, there's Leatherface. He's gonna chop him up now. Like, I feel like that's a good role for him.
Now, do you think that the villain in this film, I guess it would depend on the franchise, yeah. would it be Michael Myers or Leatherface, or would it be some kind of original slasher character that we come up with?
I think that's an interesting, because like the thing is, if you take like the things that would put fear into Borat, those are all just make it a very racist slasher movie.
Yes.
So I don't know that you could really do that. I feel like you really would have to like put old Mikey Myers in there, or Leatherface, or Jason. You know, I feel like it has yeah. to be one of those guys.
It'd be like a Freddy versus Jason where you're rooting for Jason the whole time because yeah. you just hate Borat so much.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I love the idea of the Scooby-Doo type situation where you have Azamat, Linnell, Borat, and a talking bear, and they go and they investigate and they pull off the mask and oh, it's the guy from the rodeo, or oh, it's the guy from the antique store or whatever. Yeah. Oh, it's Chip Pickering in his 10th congressional run.
Oh, God.
And I think that idea is much more of like a, like how they made Beetlejuice into a kid's cartoon, and they made Beetlejuice not as like creepy as he was in the movie. Yeah. Sort of like a more kid-friendly, like Borat, the animated series, Saturday morning mystery cartoon kind of vibe.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of this, but we know who the killer is. It's Death, right? It's the dude in the shitty Death costume.
It is,
and
it is. It totally is.
And just like the shitty Texas Chainsaw remake, you could have him be essentially like someone else's implement of Death, right? Like their weapon. He could essentially be Pamela Anderson's weapon, the way that Leatherface becomes Alexandra Daddario's weapon in that movie. Spoilers, sure. by the way, if you haven't seen the awful fucking Texas Chainsaw remake, don't watch it. But like, you know, it's right there for you. Like, we're just gonna take that terrible screenplay, we're gonna take Clint Eastwood's shitty son out of it, and we're gonna put Sacha Baron Cohen in.
Oh my
in,
god.
And there you go.
I didn't realize Clint Eastwood's son was
yeah,
in
it. Yeah, Scott
movie.
Eastwood, he's in it. I think wonderful. He's the guy who gets killed at the start. I think he's the shitty hiker they pick up, I think.
Great.
Yeah. Awful movie. Whoa. Awful
oh,
fucking
oh, shit.
Movie.
Oh my god, hold on. I made to move my mic and my entire mic arm like shot out of the socket, but we're good.
All right.
We're good. Yeah, no, I love that idea. I would you know, we talked about this earlier. I would love to see Borat get killed on screen by
yes.
anyone in any capacity. So.
Yeah. I would love that. Absolutely great. I think
big
that,
fan.
I think he has to die. He has to die in this sequel. Or
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I don't think Sacha Baron Cohen is like that, like self-aware. I shouldn't say that because SBC is by all accounts a very like intelligent man in some ways, and.
Yeah,
I think that if he really put in the work, I think he could make a very good like self-reflective film. But I don't think the idea of killing off Borat would really cross his mind in that way. Or maybe it would, but the fact that he brought Borat out of mothballs once like this tells me that he is not adverse to bringing him out again and again. Like once you put a character to bed the first time and then bring him back, there's no point in putting him to bed a second time because you know there's always a chance that he'll just like pop him out again, right?
Yeah, I just feel like let's say 2006, so that's 14 years. So let's say for the 20th anniversary, right? 2026.
Uh-huh.
Borat 3 gets made, right? Like that's just sad, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's not like a thing that even if Borat 2 winds up being a great success and like people wind up loving it, like bringing him back a third time is just pathetic, you know? That's like if Adam Sandler fucking brings back the Waterboy again, you know? Like it's just like, come on, dude, like really, you know? Like it's
yeah
Or that's like if they make Anchorman 3, you know, it's just like, let it die. Like, stop, you know, yeah. Like it had its day. You brought it back to try cash in on it again. It doesn't need a third
installment. Has there, just like off the cuff, has there ever been like that you can think of a random comedy sequel that they brought back out of nowhere that actually did well? Because when you think about it, Airplane 2, like going all the way back, Airplane 2 was bad. Hangover 2, I heard, was not good. Anchorman 2, bad. Yeah. I remember seeing that and thinking it was just horrible. Grown Ups 2, bad. Paul Blart 2, bad. Like, what? Just good comedy sequels. Any good comedy sequels you can think of?
Not really, honestly. Like, I think like comedy, the nature of comedy is like you can really only do it once, right? Because then you're just repeating the joke.
Yeah, and you've already seen it. Like the thing that you had never seen before has been seen.
Exactly, and you can't recapture that lightning in a bottle, right? Like I feel like
let me do a Google search because I know people like the Naked Gun movies a lot, but
Naked Gun is pretty good. I know some people defend Scary Movie 2, but I'm not going to do that.
So a couple things I'm seeing just coming up. Ghostbusters 2, which was bad. Don't like that movie. Shrek 2. I mean, okay, sure. I wouldn't consider that a comedy in the way that we're kind of going around it.
Yeah, what about Spy Who Shagged Me? People like that, right? Like
Spy Who Shagged Me is all right. Yeah. Now I see on here Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. This is now a top 10 list by Consequence of Sound, comedy sequels that got it right.
Okay.
So number 10, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which I still haven't seen. Then Naked Gun, which we talked about. Wayne's World 2.
Okay. I don't think Wayne's World 2 was that good, honestly. I think the first one's all right, but yeah.
22 Jump Street, the one with like Channing Tatum and all that, which I did hear was pretty all right.
I haven't seen it, so I liked that first 21 Jump Street. Like I thought that was all right. Like they were good in that.
Let's see, fun. Shrek 2, Gremlins 2, but I wouldn't consider that like what we're talking about, right?
No,
because Gremlins 1 was like a dark comedy like adventure like fantasy film. Gremlins 2 is like Looney Tunes. I'm talking like stuff that is like, you know, a comedy franchise that has an actual sequel. A second Pink Panther movie, I guess. Adam's Family Values, I don't know. Like if you're really into Adam's Family, I guess. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which I wouldn't really count because it's more of like a Monty Python situation where it's like an anthology, you know?
Sure.
And the last one on this list is Toy Story 3. Fuck off. That's not a comedy. that's like a family movie with a very, I know that's a shit list. If anyone from Consequence of Sound is listening, you need to redo that list. That sucks ass.
Yeah, that's bad.
All I'm saying is that within the last, 20 years, it's been very difficult for a comedy franchise to strike out and like make a successful, critically successful at least, direct sequel. Yeah, right?
It has been.
And so I just think that if we're talking in a sort of holistic, cosmic sense, going back, running the numbers, checking the math, the odds are against Borat 2 great success to be the great success that it so desperately wants to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like I started this where I had an end goal in mind, and we've really kind of just rambled on down some other path.
That's
but
fine. I mean,
it's Borat 2.
It's Borat 2.
I'm really obsessing over it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably the most unnecessary sequel since Waiting got a sequel. You know, like, it's just fucking...
you've brought those movies up several times in the last few weeks. I don't know what I've heard of Waiting. I don't know anything about those movies. I don't know anything about the sequel or the critical reception or what they're about or anything like that.
I don't know why I've had it on the brain. It's like how a few weeks ago I got wanting to watch Jay and Silent Bob on the brain. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. They're basically like comedies about like a TGI Fridays or like a Bennigan's or a Chili's style restaurant, you know. Like, the first one had like Ryan Reynolds in it. It was like the launch of his like big time movie career. And then the second one was just like a direct DVD, like complete nothing movie. Like, Andy Milonakis is in both of those, which like should tell you like roughly like the level of like,
I don't
what that is.
Like, I know who Andy Milonakis is. I don't think I've ever seen any Andy Milonakis joint before.
Let me tell you, you don't need to watch Waiting. I don't know why it's come into my head. I was just like thinking about like, while I've been getting into Letterboxd more and more, I've been like thinking about movies that I've seen and wanted to rewatch. And I started thinking about like when I was a teenager and they used to show like indie movies at like 2 a.m. every day, like over the summer, like and I would just watch them in my bedroom because I was up, and like I've just been like trying to find old one of those that I don't remember just based on people that were in them, and for some reason I remembered Waiting, and I was just like, oh, I've seen both of those movies, I'm gonna fucking watch those again, and I probably won't, but like whatever, like you don't need to see Waiting, it's fucking stupid. It's
yeah, I'm looking at Andy Milonakis's, you know, filmography. I did know that he had the show on MTV. I don't recognize any of these movies on here. Yeah, so
his entire thing was that he was like 35 but he looked like he was a 14-year-old. Like, that was his entire shtick, basically.
Great.
Yeah.
Did I talk about speaking of bad movies by MTV personalities, did I talk about my viewing experience with Freddy Got Fingered
podcast? You did not, because we had John on last week.
We had John on, right. Yeah, I watched Freddy Got Fingered a couple weeks ago, and like, it's a weird movie.
You were kind of obsessed with it for a couple of days there.
I was. It really, it's a movie that really kind of like sticks itself into your brain in this weird sort of like self-fulfilling prophecy sort of way. Because a lot of people these days, or at least people on the internet who are very opinionated about weird movies, defend Freddy Got Fingered as sort of this monument of like 90s early 2000s anti-establishment like anti-comedy, I suppose. Sure. Where like the plot of Freddy Got Fingered is it's Tom Green, who's known for doing shock comedy on MTV, and he plays this you know, this is mostly for the benefit of people at home. I know you're familiar with the movie. He plays this aspiring animator who's a slacker. He moves out to Hollywood, but he crashes and burns, and so he moves back in with his parents. And so the whole movie just sort of unfolds as this like puzzle box of these very surreal, like just not funny at all, like gross out vignettes, I suppose.
Yeah.
And like, you hear a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, this movie is so intentionally unfunny, and it's like really satisfying to watch because, you know, he got $15 million to make this and he basically just blew it, right? And so I agree that it is sort of interesting to watch from that perspective, and like watching this man sort of unfold and see what he can get away with in this film. And I think it's interesting in that perspective, but it's still not very good to watch.
No, like, it's not.
Like it's not very compelling. Very little of it is, you know, conventionally funny in any way. And people say, oh, like, oh, that's the point or whatever. And it's like, I get it. I'm hip. I watched Mr. Show. I watched Tim and Eric. I watched Eric Andre, you know, like I get what this kind of humor like became over time, you know?
Right.
Like I see the seeds of all that in this movie, but it's still just not very enjoyable. Like, the scene that everyone knows where he's on the piano and he's like got the sausages tied to his fingers is so good. Like, that's one of the few moments in that movie where the surreal comedy is like really on point and I think really works. But like, and then it's like he's like jerking off a horse at one point. Like, he's, it's just uncomfortable to watch because he plays himself like this man child in this particular way.
Yeah, he does.
And the way he delivers his lines is just kind of like grody in this particular way, where you're watching this man who is very obviously trying to play someone who is having like a mental health crisis, and it's just weird. It's just weird and gross in a way that I don't think he really intended, or maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he's a genius and I just don't get it.
Maybe.
But this is some roundabout way of saying that, like, even though the film is not very good, you can't help but think about it. Like, and it gets in your brain and you're like, maybe it is good. Like, maybe it is like a quote unquote good movie, because I am still thinking about it like a week later, you know, and I'm still thinking about it now. Like, it's still very, very vivid in my mind. So I guess maybe there's more to it after all than I thought. And I do think I'm going to rewatch it at some point. Like I can kind of feel it in my bones. I'm going to give Freddy Got Fingered another go.
Yeah.
So
now it's interesting that you have kind of put it in those terms, because you've accidentally stumbled into the other thing that I was going to bring up, which is that I was, again, at work today, just thinking about Borat, because that's all I do all day is think about Borat. And I thought to myself, you know, what if it turns out that Borat is actually good, right? Like, because I was thinking to myself, like, you know, we've been doing this for 44 weeks and it hasn't really like been that hard. We're constantly talking about how easy to watch it is. Like, maybe Borat is actually good. And then as we were watching the movie tonight, I was like, no, that's fucking wrong. This movie's not good. This is bad. This is like dreadful. But there was a few hours there where I was like entertaining the idea that even though I didn't like the movie, maybe it was objectively good. But now I'm just like, no, it's bad. It's actually bad.
Yeah, maybe we're just those godless liberal Antifas who are always looking for something to complain about on Twitter. We're the PC police, and Borat is actually a very, very funny movie.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
maybe,
but I don't think that's true. I think Borat's just bad.
No, I think in terms of media criticism, there's a lot to be said for the trappings of this film. Do we have anything else in specific we want to talk about? I feel like I took up a lot of time talking about Freddy Got Fingered or whatever.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Like, this is, you know, I'm sure somewhere Tom Green has been waiting to be compared to Borat again. I'm sure there was plenty of those comparisons going around in 2006, but still. Anyway, yeah, I think I'm about tapped out. So, I mean, unless you got anything else, we can start wrapping this up.
Nah, I'm good. I'm cozy. I'm comfy. I'm gonna go read Burnt Offerings, the Haunted House book by, I think, Robert or David Maresco or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, we can go ahead and close the door on this watch.
All right, then. That's watch 44 of Borat. We don't know if this is gonna be the last one, or whether we'll be back here next week again watching Borat, waiting for Borat 2. We'll see. I guess keep an eye on the feed. It's going to continue either way. We just don't know which movie it's going to be. But yeah, Ryan, would you like to plug some of your stuff?
Yeah, sure. I am on Emojidrome, the podcast, at Emojidrome on Twitter. I do that with Sylvia from Friends at the Table. We just did an episode on the pizza slice, which was pretty fun. I am also on Twitter itself, at CurseGoat, and I don't really have anything going on there. I complain about console prices, and sometimes I tweet about movies I've watched, but if you're interested in hearing about a comic that I have coming out pretty soon, maybe not soon, but by the end of October, that is a space that you will want to keep an eye on. Cool. But I think that's about it for me, Niall. What are you up to these days?
Yeah, you can find my video game stuff at videogamechoochoo.com. I do not have a personal Twitter, but Borat Club does. We're at Borat Club on Twitter. Our DMs are open if you'd like to get in contact with us. We also have an email address, boratclubcast@gmail.com. Sacha Baron Cohen, our challenge to you to come on the podcast, I assume, is still open.
Always.
Yeah. You're more than welcome on at any point that you want, even though you have cursed us with this horrible sword of Damocles hanging over our heads right now. But yeah, we would really appreciate it if you told a friend, you left a review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. Helps us out massively. As always, we don't advertise the show anywhere. We don't have a network or anything like that. This only spreads via word of mouth. So anything you can do to help us bump the numbers up, we would really appreciate. But yeah, until next week, and presumably our 45th viewing of Borat, Ryan, thank you as always for joining me, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.